Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke chapter 4 on Through the Word, a story about conquering temptation, and with it, an important lesson about how to take your stand against the devil and everything he throws at you. Temptation is basically a lure to do wrong, a trap that makes evil look good. Temptation is the delicious bait that conceals a sharp hook, or the tasty morsel of cheese on a deadly mousetrap. Temptation is that last moment of pleasure before the trap breaks your neck. Now, the feeling of temptation itself is not a sin. It's all about how you respond to it. So let's see how Jesus responds to temptation here in Luke chapter 4. Jesus fasted 40 days in the desert, and Satan attacks him with three temptations. Just three. And if you look carefully, you'll see that these three represent Satan's entire playbook when it comes to temptation. 1 John 2:16 sums them up this way: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the same three temptations that took down Eve in the Garden of Eden. Let's see how Jesus responds here in Luke 4. The first temptation comes in verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." This one is the lust of the flesh. When Satan tells you that you need something to be satisfied, and you won't be happy until you get it, he's preying on your flesh. When you crave a food, a feeling, or a fix, whether it's drugs or porn or even something that seems harmless, whatever addiction tempts you to put your physical needs before your spiritual devotion, that's the lust of the flesh. When you start to believe you can't be happy without it, watch out. Now, how should you respond? Check out verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God." Notice that Jesus responds by quoting Scripture. He's quoting Deuteronomy here, and he will again with each of the attacks. Jesus uses the sword of the Spirit. That's God's word. If you want to have the word as a ready defense, memorize Bible verses. A Bible on your shelf will do you about as much good as a sword that's never unsheathed. If you wait for the battle before you try out the sword, you're toast. And the verse that Jesus chooses is interesting. He says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. In other words, your response to temptation should be, "I may want that other stuff, but what I need is God and His Word." You see, God's Word sustains your life. By His Word, He created the world, and the same breath that breathed life into Adam still breathes life into the Scriptures that you read. Just think of the Bible like those little fairies in Zelda. It restores life. The next temptation is the lust of the eyes, at verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." With the lust of the eyes, Satan offers you your heart's desire, the easy way, right in front of your eyes. This is what Jesus wanted. All the kingdoms of the world is what he came for. And yet Satan offers it to him the easy way. No death on a cross. Just worship him, and that's all it takes. Jesus' response in verse 8. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When you're tempted with the lust of the eyes, remember, you serve God alone, and you will do things his way, not the easy way. The third temptation is the pride of life at verse 9. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." The pride of life is when Satan takes you to a high point of pride and then tempts you to destroy your life by throwing it into sin. "Don't worry," he says, "God will catch you." Be careful. Don't put God to the test. Your pride is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. He will use it against you, telling you that you can handle it, that God won't let you fall. But let's see how Jesus responds at verse 12. Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So when Satan builds up my pride and tells me to jump into something stupid, I respond that God is the king of my life and not me. I trust him. I don't test him. The strongest defense against pride is humility. So how can you put these into practice in your battle against temptation? Do exactly what Jesus did. Speak the word of God. I recommend you get three index cards. On one side of each, you put lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. On the back of each card, write word for word exactly how Jesus responded, quoting the scriptures. When temptation rears its ugly head, pull out the index cards, figure out which temptation it is, and speak word for word the words of God. You will find God's word to be a powerful weapon against temptation. So Satan leaves Jesus alone until later. Jesus heads over back to his hometown in Nazareth. While he's there on the Sabbath day, he enters the synagogue, he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. At verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is a description of the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the work he does. He preaches the good news to the poor. He proclaims freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the oppressed, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And just in case you thought this was just nice sentiments and old good feelings from the Old Testament, verse 21, he says, "And he began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Now, the people of Jesus' hometown were having trouble believing him. Any Christian who's ever tried to share Christ with their family knows what this is like. So Jesus moves on in verse 31. "Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority." Authority is a key word in Luke's gospel. Jesus taught with authority, not just eloquence or insight, but with authority. Jesus' message was not simply a wise man teaching a philosophy or idea. He was and is the eternal God speaking truth and proving his authority to proclaim it by the power of his words over demons, over illness, over nature itself. When he demonstrated the power and authority of his word, people got excited about the healing and miracles, and they begged him to stay. But then in verse 43, "But he said, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.'" So the people wanted miracles, but Jesus was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the heart of his ministry, preaching, inviting people to join the kingdom of God. Not just healing, not just good living. Jesus preached to invite you to be a citizen in God's kingdom, where God is king. Read Luke chapter 4 today, and as you read God's word, remember that it has authority over temptation, over doubters, over demons, over everything that comes against you, and over your life as well.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamond Head, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.